Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow. You guys are alive and ready to rock and roll. I love it. Yes, we are ready. I just want to say something. Watching Linnea do the announcements up here, I have known Linnea since she was before she came out the chute, I think, pretty much. And it's just awesome to see the kids that have grown up here at New Hope that are having kids now. I mean, it's hard for me to believe because I'm only 39 years old. And
right.
Yes. But it's awesome to see. I mean, when I was doing the youth group, we still have kids that were in our youth group that are still serving here at New Hope in various capacities. And that's what a church should be.
Amen.
That is what a church should be. A church is a family. It's not a building that you go to. It is a family. And unfortunately, a lot of churches have gotten away from that. And it has become about programs and getting bigger and more money and this and that. And that's not how the first church has started. And that's what we do here. Today, as I'm going to go over for those of you who are newer to the church, I wanted to give you an overview of why we do what we do. What are we focusing on? Because we do have a plan here. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it is our mission statement. It's what our focus is here at New Hope Christian Center. It says, therefore, and this is Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, this is what he told his disciples. These were the last words that he spoke to them. And he gave them an instruction on what they were to do. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, we are to live our lives like Jesus lived his life. We are to become more and more like him. And he modeled for the disciples, the apostles, he modeled what that was supposed to look like. So I thought before I took over as head pastor, oh, so many years ago, I thought, you know, what did the early church look like? What did that first generation look like that was only one generation removed from when Jesus walked on this earth? And those things are recorded in the New Testament. So I studied the entire New Testament before I took over. And as I studied it, three things came jumping off of the page. Before Belinda and I took over here at New Hope Christian Center, we thought that we would take about 6 months and just visit other churches and see what they were doing and adopt the things that we liked and get rid of the things that we didn't like. And then one time I had a revelation and I said, what does God want? What does he want? Because ultimately Christ is the head of the church. So why not go to him and see what he wants? And if you look in the New Testament at how the new church operated, and you look at the majority of churches today, they don't look anything like each other at all. We have had a lot of people come to this church because we preach the Word of God. We've had a lot of people come and have gone to other churches and have been just, it's a show. It's a rah-rah. It's emotionally driven. There's very little word being preached and taught. And it seems like money is the basis for everything that they do. And so when I went into prayer, it's like, Lord, what do you want? And he says, well, I've recorded everything that I want. It's in my word. It's in the word that has been passed down. So take a look at it. And three things jumped off the pages to me after I got done studying. The first thing that I realized is that the early church emphasized the importance of being connected to God. The second thing that they emphasized was the importance of being connected to other believers. And the third thing was the importance of releasing those people that you were teaching to connect to God and to connect to other believers, releasing them in the gifts that God has given them. You see, each and every one of you has a certain set of gifts that God has given you that He has not given to anybody else. And we are not to receive those gifts and put them on a shelf. We're supposed to utilize those gifts for our benefit, but also for the benefit of other believers, other people in the family. So many people have put the gifts that God has given them on the shelf and are not utilizing those gifts. And when you do that, you are robbing other people of a blessing. God blesses you so that you can bless other people. It is not just for you. You reap the benefits of those blessings and those gifts, but when you hoard them and you keep them to yourself, you are robbing God of the opportunity of blessing someone else. You're being selfish, is what you're doing. So they believed in connecting to God, connecting to other believers, and then asking for service. Here at New Hope, we do the very same thing. You can boil it down to connect, connect, release. Connect, connect, release. But what does that look like? Our process here at New Hope is the same process that Jesus modeled to the disciples. It's what we do here. Amen? What did that look like in real life? If you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says the things that they were devoted to. It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Number one, they were devoted to studying the scripture that they had. You know what? We have more than they had because the New Testament had not been written yet. So we have the benefit of the whole package. They had the writings, the sacred writings. They had the prophecies. They had the Torah. They had the Old Testament. And they devoted themselves to learning and teaching the Old Testament. You've heard the word Torah being used. It's the first five books of the Bible. Torah in Hebrew means instruction. The Torah was the instructions that God gave His people on how they were to live their lives with Him and with other people. That's what the Torah is. It was His laws on how to govern yourselves in your relationship with Him and your relationship with other people. It was very important to them. Unfortunately, reading and studying the Word of God is not very important to most churches. I've had people come to this church and they went and visited another church. And they came here at the end when I was just wrapping up in prayer. And afterwards they came to me and said, we got more Jesus in the last 5 minutes of your message than we got in an hour and a half service at this other church. That is sad. That is sad. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by great music. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the pastor tell some great remedies. Faith comes by hearing and listening to the pastor tell stories or self-help or I just want you to feel good. God loves you right where you are. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Period. Period. So the first thing they did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The second thing, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. They lived life together. They were family. These huge churches cannot possibly perpetuate family and fellowship and devotion to one another. A lot of people like the bigger churches because they don't want people to know them. They don't want to be noticed when they come and when they go and when they don't show up. But that's not what the early church looked like. The early church met in houses. They met in smaller groups. Why? Because they wanted to foster the family element of what fellowship really is. And that's what we do here. That is what we do here. We foster that devotion to the fellowship. And you can't be devoted to the fellowship if you don't show up and don't participate. It's just impossible. The third thing that they were devoted to was the breaking of bread. There are two aspects to the breaking of bread that they're talking about. The first aspect is actually communion. When you gather together and when you do this in remembrance of me. We do that here at New Hope Christian Center. The second aspect is the breaking of bread in each other's homes. You see, back then, when you invited someone into their home and broke bread with them, there was a special bond that was being established. There was something special about that, and we've kind of lost that in our culture. Other cultures around the world is still very important. When I went to Paris, in their culture, they don't. If you buy a car in Paris or in France, it does not come with cup holders. Because they take the eating of their meals very, almost religious about it. Because when you sit down and have a meal, you sit down and have a meal. There are no drive-thrus in Paris. You go, you set aside a certain amount of time, and you eat together. You can get food to go at places, but you're kind of frowned upon if you're walking down the street eating a sandwich like I did. But it's just their culture. Meals with other people are very important. Meals with family members are very important. And we are losing that in America. We are so busy, we drive through a drive-thru. Get food for everyone, hopefully it's all there, and we eat it to our next destination because we're so busy. Maybe we're a little too busy. That we've lost that element of breaking bread with other people. Having someone in your home and sharing a meal together ups that relationship. It grows a little bit more intimate than it used to be. And I believe that we need to get back to that. The fourth thing that they were devoted to was prayer. They prayed for one another. Paul, always in his letters, I pray for you and the brethren. I pray strength. I pray that you will be able to stand through the trials and the tribulations. I do love the fact that we have texting and that somebody can say, just please pray for me. Or I was thinking about you, so I'm just sending in a text hoping everything is okay. But there's something special about face-to-face interaction and praying for one another. We've started that with our grandkids. We're praying with our grandkids now. We want them to get used to praying and the concept. They're still too young, but you know what? They're going to know. They'll get to the point where they understand. They'll get to the point where it clicks. When I pray for little Paisley, she just looks at me like, Papa, what are you saying? She doesn't understand. But it ain't going to stop me. When I pray for the boys, put my hand on their head. The first thing I did when I held each one, I prayed over them. Nobody else knew it. I kind of took them aside, and I prayed for them. And I believe that's my job as the patriarch of our family. That you read in the Old Testament, the fathers and their prayers and their blessings for their children often dictated how their lives ended up. It was a very special thing for the patriarch of a family to lay his hands on the younger generation. Children wanted that. And I believe we've gotten away from that as well. We have responsibility. And if you don't have children, you still have a lot of little buggers that you can be praying for around here. Because in case you haven't noticed, there's a lot more of them little buggers hanging around. And as a family, we have a responsibility to all of them. All of them. So these four elements we refer to as the four pillars of the early church. And those four pillars are the things that we do and focus on here at New Hope Christian Center. We do not implement anything if it does not have one of the four pillars in it, at least one. We're just not going to do it. When I was a youth pastor, I tried to connect with the other youth pastors in the area. And I was the oldest guy of all the youth pastors. And so I was meeting with these 20, 21, 22-year-old young men and young women. And they were all full-time. I was not. I was working a full-time job and still do. And so when we met, we would meet on a Wednesday morning. Well, first of all, we started at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I would go to work, I would take my early lunch, and then I would go to these meetings with these young kids. And it was just to establish a connection of the churches in the valley. And so I would go and kind of listen, and every church hosted that meeting on different Wednesdays. So we go to this church on one Wednesday, then we go to this church. And every church that we went to, we would walk through the youth room to see how they had it decorated and all the gaming stuff. They had Xboxes everywhere. They had this, they had that, they had this, and just... It was all about getting kids in. And I says, well, what are you guys doing for teaching the Word of God? Well, we focus on getting them in. That's the first part. And then we have games, game time, and then free time. And then right at the end, we do just a little message or whatever. And they all were trying to outdo each other's electronics. Well, we've got 10 Xboxes over here on the big screen. We have this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking to myself, these kids can get this all day, every day. They have access to the gaming. They have their phones. And you bring them in and you give them more. They can get this whenever. When and where can they get the Word of God? Well, we like to focus on the... And so we began meeting at 9 o'clock, and then the next time we got together, they says, well, you know, 9 o'clock's pretty early. Can we make it 10:30? Everyone agreed. Okay, so the next time we met, 10:30. You know, 10:30's pretty early. Can we make it noon? And I said, I'm done. Their focus is on keeping kids right where they're at. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by playing Call of Duty. Nope. By spending 8 hours a day on Instagram or tweeting or Twittering or you name it. I'm too old to name them. Don't know how to do it, never have done it. Proud to say it. But this younger generation needs the Word of God. And you know what, Aaron and Larry and Sue and Keegan and Maddie and Maverick and Haley, you know what they're doing? They're loving on those kids and giving them the Word of God. They have fun. They have game time. It's great. But they're getting the Word of God. And the focus that I had when I was teaching, I wanted our kids to know what they believed and why they believed it. Because I didn't want them riding on my coattails of my faith or on their mom and dad's coattails of their faith. Because I saw this trend of young people who grow up in a youth group, and the minute they get out on their own or they go to college, they become hooligans. That's because they don't know what they believe and they don't know why they believe it. They're not able to defend their faith. When our kids got out, they knew how to defend their faith. And you know what? When we said, I want you to know what you believe and why you believe it, if they chose not to believe, that's on them. That is on them. But I wanted them to know how to defend their faith. Because there's a world out there that's just waiting to chew you up and spit you out. There is a world out there that will lie to you and say, drugs is the answer. Or this is the answer. Or that is the answer. I wanted them to be able to stand when the onslaught of the enemy came at them. Amen? We are all called to make disciples. And as we follow Christ, we are called to teach others to do the very same thing. But you cannot teach someone what you don't know. If you are not in the Word, you can't teach the Word to someone else. It's very important. And if you haven't been discipled, you should not be discipling other people. You learn. God or Jesus taught the 12 in 3.5 years. It took the Son of God 3.5 years to get these guys ready. Which means I can't do it in 3.5 years because I ain't the Son of God. I know that's a shocker to some of you. But we need to be about the business of creating and making disciples. So that they can do the very same thing. So that they raise up kids who learn how to be disciple makers. Because that's how It works in God's word. The modern church's plan for discipleship is to get people into the doors of the church by any means possible so that the pastor and the leaders can do what they do. Most Christians believe that their job is done once they get someone to come to the church with them. Discipleship looked very different in the early church. They met together in homes and they became family. And each believer was taught the ways of Jesus and then expected to do the same with others. I've had a lot of people say, I just wish I could get so-and-so to come to church. Well, that's great, but that should not be your main focus. If you are dealing with someone who is an unbeliever, what you're supposed to do, love on them. They don't give a rip on how much you know about the Bible until they know that you care about them. To me, the worst thing you can do, and God bless the people that do the street ministry and stand up on a box and scream that you're a whoremonger and a sinner and this and that, and maybe God has called them to do that, but I don't ever remember Jesus doing that. He didn't do that. What did he do with the sinners? He walked up to the woman at the well and says, can I have a drink of water? He started a relationship with her first and showed that he had compassion for her first before he told her, go and sin no more. He loved on those people. You know the people he had the worst time with? The religious people. You sons of vipers. You are nothing but a bunch of whitewashed tombs. He always saved his harshest words for those people who were in judgment of other people. That is not how we are to act. We are first and foremost to love God, and then we are to love our neighbor. It says the whole law and the writings and the prophets hang on those two things, loving God and loving other people. And you know what? Sometimes loving other people is not an easy thing to do. And that's when we need to be connected more to God so that we can draw on His ability to love and not just try to do it in our own skin. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. Says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. It was important. And he says, some of you are in the habit of not meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. The day is capital D in the script, and it means the day of judgment. I don't know if you've noticed, but the world that we live in is getting darker and darker and darker spiritually. And I do believe that we are getting close to what God prophesied in the Old Testament. And we need to be closer and closer together as a family to help one another to get through those things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You see, it's great to get saved, but God doesn't want you staying there. That's the beginning, not the end. That's the beginning of growth. That's the beginning of adding to your faith and increasing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you every opportunity here at New Hope Christian Center to grow in your faith, but we can't drag you kicking and screaming. We won't drag you kicking and screaming, but we do give you the opportunity to grow. We do give you the opportunity to learn the Word of God. We do give you the opportunity to connect with other believers. We do give you the opportunity to break bread. We do give you the opportunity to pray with other people. But if you don't take that initiative to step out and connect, it's all for naught. And you're robbing somebody of a blessing. I am going to have, can you go grab all of them? Yes. What I wanted to do is invite you who have not been a part of a group, a life group. The life groups that we have give you an opportunity to connect with other people. They give you an opportunity to grow in your faith, to learn the Word of God, to fellowship with one another. And the idea behind that is that it is the first stepping stone of beginning a relationship with other people. See, we want you to develop relationships outside of these walls. Not just inside, but outside, in the community, with one another. And so today I was going to have, do we have any leaders in here that are leading a life group? I know we have some families that are gone. Or you're in charge of Tiny Tots or Teen Kids, or, and Belinda just walked out. Who'd you point at? Who is? Oh. Keegan, do you want to come up and kind of say what you're doing this year? If you didn't hear him, he said, "I don't know what I'm doing." So what I wanted to do is kind of put a face, because I know that Kim and Roger Brake are leading a group that meets at Aaron and Brooke's house, who are not here either. So we can't really have them. So I wanted to have Bailey come on up and bring her little brood and just kind of share a little bit about what your focus is and what these kids mean to you.
Oh, my gosh. Can you ask me this? Oh, hello. Is it working? Okay, because I don't feel like it's
I don't think
working.
It is.
I hear you.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, so I'm Bailey Brazel, and I do Kids Church, and I've done it for probably a little bit over almost 2 years
yeah.
in mm-hmm. January next year, and I think it's just very important that they start learning more about God at this age than any other age, because it's the foundation of who God is in their lives, and... It's okay. And I just find it very important that they learn who God is in their lives, especially like in school. School does a whole other thing in their lives, and this is an important foundation of their learning. And especially as they go into like Teen Kids or youth, they know that kind of foundation in their lives as well. So, yeah. Did you want to share what you have? In your hands, Hazel?
Yes, we would love to hear from you.
Do you want to? Sure. Sure.
You want me to hold you at it? You hold it.
Okay. You speak in it.
Love. Joy. What's this one? Peace. And what's this one?
Forbearance.
Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness.
What's that?
Self-control. That's it. That's the full of the spirit.
The end.
Come up and share about the women's group. Is that Emma?
Okay.
Yes.
Can we go back upstairs? Hi there. You're so much fun. Do you want to stand right here?
I can't wait.
Women's ministry, we're going to be doing a Priscilla Schreier Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going to be here in the sanctuary. And I do have a sign up if you need nursery for that Wednesday night. It'll be out there in the foyer. Yeah. And then also women's retreat. If you haven't signed up, ladies, we've got 50 women going, which is amazing. So that is awesome. So if you can, please sign up for women's retreat. Are you good? Okay. Thank you.
Want to say something, baby Cameron? Mm-hmm. What do you want to say? Say happy birthday. All right. Do we have any... Bailey's in charge of Tiny Tots as well, and where's Stephanie?
She's with
Laura on purpose.
She's in
nursing
home. I don't do Tiny Tots.
You never have? But what do these kids mean to you?
A lot.
Yeah. She does nursery.
I do nursery.
Okay, let's hear about the nursery.
Okay. There's a lot of screaming, but they're... They really love all of the nursery workers, I think. Like, they, because, I mean, he has not let Bella, Bella has not been able to put him down the whole time. Oh. He loves her so much. I remember when Layla was born, and now she's like, she was standing up all by herself, which is crazy. And it's just so cool to see them all grow up, because I remember when Cameron was a baby, and when Paisley was born, and like, it's just so cool seeing them all grow up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. And as you can see, this is the next generation of New Hope. You know, and we need to raise them up. We need to raise them up. And they need help. And their parents need help. And because when they bring them to my house, I spoil them. And I've earned the right to do so. And so, but this is the next generation. We may have the next youth pastor up here right now. We just don't know. Do you want to say something? No? So, yeah, you can go ahead and take them back. Let's give them a hand as they go. Go, buddy. There you go. All right.
You want to
go get BB? What do you want to do?
Jump.
Huh? She wants to play the drums, is what she wants. And I'm going to have the music ministry team come up, please. I am doing a men's ministry. It's not a Bible study per se. First of all, we try to just get together and get to know one another. It's probably the most difficult thing for men to do is to get together with other men and kind of help us do life together. 'Cause I don't know about you, life is not perfect. Men have their own kinds of challenges, and it's kind of nice to get together with other men and hear that you're really not the only one that struggles in certain things. So I would invite you men to come. It is all ages. The only thing we ask is if you are a perfect husband or a perfect spouse or a perfect brother, we do not have a seat for you. That's the only exclusion we have. So sorry, Bishop, you can't come. Clarabelle's just laughing. That man is not perfect. No, I love our church. We weren't here last week, and I missed it. It's weird. I miss not being here. It's part of who we are. We've always told our kids, we don't have to go to church. We get to. Amen. And there are some people that are not physically able to go who would love nothing more than to show up and be it together with one another. And it's a crying shame when people look at it from the perspective of we have to go to church. That's really actually a pretty sad place to be. A lot of people look at it as punching their get out of hell free card. Well, you know, I haven't been around for a while. I better show my face so I get a couple more points towards my get out of hell free card, because I'm hoping to redeem those points when I face the good Lord. That ain't how it works either. We're called to be family. Period. We're called to love one another. We're called to love God. And how you do that and how that comes out in your own personal life, that is between you and God. But we give you the opportunity to connect with other people, to connect with God, and then we are going to release you in the fullness of what God wants in your life. There's my daughter who did not want to come. Oh, well, do you want to bring Hallie up and I will hold her while you speak on what you focus with the tiny tots? My daughter just gave me the mean mug. Hallie.
So Tiny Tots, it's just ages. Yeah, they're fun. It's a fun crew. 3 and 4, we used to do 2, 3, and 4, but if you've seen any of the two-year-olds. So they're in the nursery, but we have 3 and 4-year-olds. We're doing Fruit of the Spirit. So we're going through one each month to kind of help them learn the fruits of the Spirit. And they kind of play and have crackers, which is the only thing that they tell that their parents that they do. But we do teach them more than that. We color. And we're also, I'm going to start trying to like do little, like teaching them how to cut and that kind of thing. Yeah, so scissors are going to be introduced. You're welcome, Terry. So it's just trying to get that age group, because they're capable and they know, they're smarter than you think. So just kind of get them introduced to different lessons in the Bible, and and that's it.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Want to stay with Papa? You want to sing? I'll tell you what, I thoroughly love being a grandpa, and I love loving on Carly and Brandon's kids, and Blair and Alana, and she still won't give me a smile yet, but I'm going to get it out of her. I think it took Alana 15 years before she finally smiled at me, so I got a few years on that. But it warms my heart to see all these little buggers running around, and how you guys love them as well. I love how the Willett girls, they're like candy. It's like, gimme, 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 gimme. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome because they automatically have big sisters, which is amazing. So I'm done. I am so done. Please stand and we'll let these guys do what they do.
There you have it, that last song. That's what we do here. But to follow up was kind of pressed upon my heart is we need these refreshers every year. I mean, I am probably the least compassionate person in the room. I need to be reminded that he's called me to be compassionate. I love working with the kids. We didn't get a chance to get up here because, well, it's Brooke and Aaron's ministry. I assist. I love working with your kids. Building relationships. I was just talking with my wife over the weekend and telling her some of the interactions. She rolled her eyes because she thinks I'm a hard case. But the kids love it. They love being told directly what's going on. They love it. We pamper them and we carry on and we cater to, and what they really want is the truth. Stephanie's absolutely right. Kids are smarter than we give them credit for. They know how to play you. And they love you for not playing back. There's my little admittance to why I engage with the youth. Building relationships. Building character, helping them set the things that they need in motion so that they can step up into the crown that God has for them to step up into. Amen? So if you just do that song, you got to show up, you got to be filled, and then you got to do something with it. Amen? All done in love, with compassion. And for the record, love doesn't always seem nice. Sometimes when you love someone, you've got to tell them the hard truth. And they will respect you for it. And they will love you later. Amen. So let's just keep that in mind. Let's be encouraged. This is the time of year where we are inspired to, through this reminder, that this is what we're about here. This is why we have ugly black chairs. Because this isn't why we come to church, is to sit into these wonderful chairs. We come to this church. We come in the gathering in the name of God that we would be encouraged and equipped to go and express the gifts that He's given us into a world that is so desperately needing those gifts. Remind you that your gift that you've been given, or gifts, plural, those are for you to express into the world that needs it, and only you can accomplish what God has designed in you to accomplish. This is a scary thought. You really start thinking about it. If I don't do my job gets left undone. And the rest of everyone that's actually doing their job struggles all the more because I'm not doing my part. Amen. Crickets. Let's just be reminded that you are an important part of God's plan. Not that He needs you, but you need Him, and you need to follow through with the gift and calling in your life. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message. We thank You that You have given us this opportunity to make the choice to either seek You or seek self. Father, and we pray for Your Spirit to guide us, Lord, in the righteous things and the ways that bring You honor. Let us breathe life into our friends and family. Let us breathe life into this fallen world, led by Your Spirit, by the calling that You put on us, by Your power and authority over all things. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we give You the glory this morning. Amen. You are dismissed.